We'd like to welcome everyone who's gathered here for worship this morning. If you're a guest, we are especially glad that you're here, and we want to welcome you here, but if we don't get around to saying hello, please introduce yourself to people. It's really important that we connect with one another and experience what we're doing together here in worship. A couple of quick announcements. Our youth is having their stock sales to support their mission experiences this summer, and buying a share of stock in a youth's experience is investing in that child and their spiritual growth. So there's a table in Reed Hall where you can purchase stock. There's also a table in Reed Hall where you can schedule your photography sitting for the pictorial directory. We have 2 weeks in beginning the week, June 17th through the 19th, and June 24th through the 26th. And then again in August, there'll be 2 weeks where we'll have photography sittings available. You can also sign up online through the church's website or out here at the table in Reed Hall. Monday, the church and the school offices will be closed for Memorial Day as we take a time to remember and thank God for the ultimate sacrifices that so many people have made for the good of this country. The Guatemala mission trip leaves here in a few short weeks, and if you're not part of the team, you're invited to pray for the team, and you can be a prayer partner by contacting the church and find out what that involves. And you'll get a name of someone, and you'll be praying for them throughout the week. And if you'd like to make a financial contribution toward the medical and construction supplies, you're invited to do that as well. Just make your contribution, mark your contributions for the Honduran mission trip, Guatemalan mission trip. Lastly, we still need a few children's summer Sunday school teachers. It is a great way for a shorter period of time to connect and be a channel of love and support for the children in this church. So if that's something you want to consider doing, contact Becky Peeler here at the church. Thank you. God bless, and open your hearts to God's love that's so present.
worship this day knowing God loves us.
Together knowing God's nature is to love.
Created in God's image, we embody God's love in creation.
This world entrusted to our care.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
God's love never ends. Thanks be to God. Let us join our voices together and confess how easily we fall short of modeling God's love in our created world. Creating God, you have charged us to love that you love
in our care of creation. In our brokenness, it appears we have taken it for granted. In our arrogance, we tend to think we know what is best. But in reality, so much is just a mystery. We argue and generalize instead of working together to understand. We allow our interests to influence our positions. We criticize and blame others instead of looking in the mirror. Forgive us, O God, and awaken us to our self-serving nature. We thank you that you are stronger than our destructiveness. Drive us towards a new life of peace, justice, and integrity. Empower us to love the way you love, for the good of creation and one another. God does not shame us, but lifts us to new life. We do not need to live as slaves to our sins because we have been given new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the good news. God has heard your prayer and has forgiven your sins. Amen.
I give you my
please join with me in our prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. I want to invite any of the children that want to come forward for a quick children's time to do so. I don't bite. Michael's not here, but I'm every bit not as good as Michael. Reed, come on. Thank you. Looks like it's you and I, kid. Come sit right there. Emma Grace, how are you? Good. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're a beloved child of God. How do you know? Right. Very good. Very good. Wish you had a microphone on. She had perfect answer. And what's the first way you began to understand that God loved you? Normally, it's through those people who are closest to us. When you're a child, when you're an infant, it's your grandparents and your parents and your siblings. It's your closest family friends. Those are the ones that put the first little sparks of knowledge that God loves you in your life. And that starts you on a journey where you're able to open up your hearts and be filled with God's love so that as you grow and mature, you're able to go out and remind other children that they're beloved children of God. So it's this movement, it's this flow of relationships that creates in us that first awareness that God loves us. Another way people often know of God's love is by going out into the natural world, going out into the parks and the rivers and the mountains and seeing all of the sound and all of the beauty and all of the animals. It's magnificent. This morning at the early service, we had a baptism. Little Carter Lee was baptized. He is not going to remember the day he was baptized because he's an infant. But after he was baptized, everybody in here stood up and they reaffirmed their membership vows and pledged to God to look after him, to remind him of when he was baptized, and to remind him of God's love for him. And then he's going to grow, and he's going to mature, and he's going to be able to do the same thing for other babies that get baptized. And that's the way God's love works in the world. It's like a river of love that flows into us and through us to continue on moving. And I am so grateful that you were both able and willing and brave enough to come up here to sit with me for a few minutes. Can I say a quick prayer? Loving God, be with these children and all the children in this community of faith and community that they may be aware of your love for them that can flow through us. Lord, we hope that that awareness continues to grow and washes over them and all children in a way that makes the future of this planet more life-affirming and sustainable than it is now. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, sweetie. God often uses us and uses those closest to us to awaken us to those first little droplets of awareness that God does love us. That first awareness is critical in all of our ability to travel along a lifelong journey in maturing in our ability to love outside of ourselves for the good of others. Because that's the way that I understand God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave of himself for the good of the world, for the long-term good of those God loves. So the common channels that provide that first awareness are our parents, our grandparents, our mentors, our teachers, our neighbors, our peers, even complete strangers who just have that Holy Spirit-driven effervescence that it's obvious they recognize God's love. And an important channel is the community of faiths in which children are raised, in which we're shaped and formed in our lives. We also become aware of God's love in the natural world, like I just mentioned. That immense beauty and delicate balance, the cacophony of poetic sounds and these colors that come together to create an unbelievably artistic expression of God's love. There are many times I feel so connected to God when I'm out in nature that it's clear that is one of the sources of God's revelation to us on how God works in the world. See, God's grace is what empowers us to participate in the great movement of love as we're able to move outside ourselves and beyond our own interests to go into the world to embody God's care for humanity and creation. God's love empowers us to share that gift with those who in turn will share it with others. And then they'll share it with others. And then that flow of God's love, that river of God's love, will continue long after we're gone. It transcends our lifetime, and it continues to travel throughout all of creation and throughout all of time. God poured that love out on the created world and on our ancient spiritual ancestors. They were graced by the Holy Spirit. They experienced something, and then they shared their stories with us through Scripture in the countless generations since then, including with our more recent genetic ancestors, those that we're related to and claim relation to. Those are the people who shared their knowledge of God's love with each successive generation until we find ourselves gathered here, surrounded by the Holy Spirit, with this element of trust and faith in the nature of God's love. These connections, these relationships, are what often empower us to share the same love with the world. Because God's love is a relational gift traveling from God to us and designed to keep flowing through time and moving through our world. This ebb and flow in those currents of how God's love moves through us continues to shape and transform us as it connects and transforms the world. We believe we do the connecting, but we trust God does the transforming. If we look at our scripture briefly, it's a beautiful, beautiful reading written by Paul to the early Christian community in Corinth. Contrary to popular belief, Paul did not write this to be read at a wedding. Paul was writing in response to something unique that was going on in Corinth. Think about Paul's letters as he was always writing a specific letter to a specific community about a certain issue and experience or struggle they had. So we need to seek to understand what's going on in his recipients, in those communities that he's writing to, before we try to appropriate his language to establish a universal truth that applies to everyone. Sometimes it might, but we need to understand what the intent was at the beginning. The Corinthian community seemed to be doing something wrong. They were very much lifting up their spiritual gifts. They recognized the importance of those spiritual gifts, and they were engaging in them and using them. They had great knowledge. They had great faith, righteousness. They had the ability to prophesy. And they understood the great mysteries. And they spoke in tongues. All of those things they were very enthusiastic about. But they were missing something very important. Something that Paul was calling them out on. Let me read to you the very first section of our scripture again. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, if I understand all mysteries, all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions or if I become a martyr, if I don't know love and I don't share love, it's meaningless. It's for naught. Paul is very direct here. So evidently, the Corinthians, that early Christian community, were very excited and proud of what God was doing, giving them these gifts. And they were using these gifts to bring the attention on themselves. They were focusing inward on their own knowledge and gifts and accomplishment. and that always falls short of what God intended. If they were using those gifts to bring attention to themselves instead of witnessing to what God was doing in the world through them, or if they were trying to shine the light on themselves instead of shining the light on God, or on how the river of God's love flows and can change the world, then they stopped growing and they stopped affirming life because they turned inward to focus on themselves. When a Christian community, any Christian community, begins to focus inward toward themselves, not outward to where the world hurts most, then that Christian movement, that river of God's love, grinds to a halt. And the movement is no longer moving. It's stagnant. That's how churches and Christian communities can become institutions. They turn inward and focus on themselves. And too often, institutions exist for the good of those who are vested in the institution, and it stops moving into the world. The movement of God's love, that river of God's love, is what transforms people's lives and changes the world in which we live. It's an ongoing flow of that life-affirming love that ebbs and flows just like the life-giving water of a river. About 45 miles south of here is this wonderfully vibrant, beautiful, and very healthy moving body of water. It's called the Duck River. National Geographic in 2010 named it one of the greatest ecological treasures on the planet. It is the most biologically diverse river system in this country. In fact, the Duck River has over 150 different species of fish alone. That's more than the entire continent of Europe. The Duck River is so healthy because its water continues to move and it continues to flow unimpeded. And it has flowed freely for tens of thousands of years. During the Ice Age, the glaciers never made it down this far south to interrupt and stop the flow, so life had all this extra time, these tens of thousands of years, to evolve. The Duck River is beautiful, and it's free from any of the kind of the development that humanity has put in place around its sister river, the Harpeth River, that runs through Williamson, Davidson, and Cheatham counties. The Harpeth is very similar to the Duck, but it's felt the stress and strain that a larger population of people can put on a river. During the hot summer months, the Harpeth's water flow drops to dangerously low levels. The temperature increases, oxygen levels go down, and it falls below state requirements as it relates to water quality. It has 82 species of fish. It is virtually identical to the Duck, with about half as many living species. That's a direct indicator on the impact humanity has had, doing very basic development, providing homes, parking lots, roadways, but we have been unaware of the harm that is being done. A river's water is just like God's love, in that when the water stops moving, it stops providing for and affirming life. And I make this connection between God's love and the life-giving water of a river shamelessly, because our church-wide emphasis during these 50 great days of Easter is to focus on caring for creation. We're called to enter into loving relationship with the created world. And there are plenty of opportunities to learn more and to do more by engaging in these environmentally focused and sustainability ministries that we have going on. Martha Stamps has offered to teach any classes on sustainability and local agriculture. She can take field trips out to the raised bed gardens behind the church and talk about what's going on there. Personally, I have a deep love for the scenic Harpeth River, and I want to do whatever I can do to help restore it to its healthiest point. And if anybody here feels called or feels connected to the river and they want to get together and brainstorm how, as a community of faith, we can better support the river systems in our area, let me know and we can get together and work on that. But now let's go back and look at our friends in Corinth who were struggling and doing something a little off kilter. As they, that community, had stopped loving the way God loves, and they turned in on themselves, the movement stopped. Paul was calling them out on it, focusing on the importance of everything they do, they need to do under that ethic of sacrificial love, under the ethic of love that models the love God has for the world. So Paul then goes on to describe what love is and what love isn't. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Each of those traits in our ability to do them or not to do them is inexplicably connected to how open each of us are to God's love in our own life. When we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're beloved children of God and we open our hearts and our lives to God's love, we're empowered to be patient, to be kind, to not be irritable, to take the high road. This identity as God's children gives us a sense of peace, and God gives us an innate kindness and humility toward other people. And the more receptive we are to God's love, the more God is able to shape and form who we are and how we respond to the world and how we're able to love outside of ourselves for the good of others. To be patient in difficult times, to be kind and cooperative with those who oppose us, exclude us, or even attack us. Without true knowledge that God loves them, people tend to be envious, boastful, and arrogant, because the less we feel loved, the greater need we feel to lift ourselves up, simply to feel better about ourselves. The Christian movement maintains as much importance today as it did 2,000 years ago. People across our land are in growing numbers badly need to know they are loved. They're growing in homes without a father. They're growing up in homes where both parents work. And they need that affirmation that they themselves are indeed beloved children. And we're called to love our planet, love our systems, love the ecology. God's love moves when we accept God's gift of love and begin to move outside of ourselves for the long-term good of others. I am so grateful for the way God's love permeates the relationship of so many of the people gathered here in this room. That's not easy, to love outside of ourselves when so much of our culture and decisions are centered on the question of what's in it for me, or the rule of quid pro quo. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. But when everyone becomes aware and believes God truly loves them, and then they're receptive to God's presence, something happens that can shape the rest of their life. They can be empowered to love the way God loves. And that's the only path to true fulfillment and true joy in this lifetime. At my age, 51, I know this to be true. Not because I necessarily do it very well, but because I have seen great spiritual maturity in so many people within this congregation. I see it in these great witnesses. As an example only, there's one person I have in mind who embodies God's love so very well in everything she does. She prays every morning, every night. She leads prayer groups, centering prayer, healing circles. She was already a very spiritually mature person 12 years ago when she lost her husband. In the years of darkness that followed that loss, she pretty much thought her life was over. And in her despair, she reached out to God and said, "I need my life to have meaning." And then it's as if in her loss, in her broken heart, God filled her with love. So a river of God's love poured over her filled her, and now flows out into the world. She doesn't ever bring attention to herself. That's why I'm not sharing her name. But everything she does, she points to God and how amazing God is and the miracle God is working both in her life and in people around her's life. She is so open and sensitive to the vibrations of God's prompting in her life. And at this point in her life, she is one of the most humble, positive, and caring people I know. I describe her over and over as someone who has a hotline directly to God. She continuously and generously shares her gifts with others in the countless circles within our prayer and healing ministries and beyond. She delivers prayer shawls to people in the hospital and who are homebound. And God uses her to make a difference wherever she goes. She makes people feel completely loved by God, regardless of who they are and where they are in their own spiritual journey. She keeps God's love on the forefront with this saintly presence, and it keeps the river of God's love flowing throughout the world to make it a better place for all of us. Sharing God's love can be as simple as loving people exactly where they are and expecting nothing in return. It means taking the high road with patience, kindness, and entering into relationship with people who are very different than yourself. It is never boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. And it endures all things. It means seeking to understand other views and beliefs and loving them without expecting anything other than the joy that comes from caring for God's beloved children. Thanks be to God. I now invite everyone to stand as you are able and open your hymnals to number 883. And let's join our voices in saying the affirmation of faith printed within. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Western United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we'd love to welcome you in Reed Hall. That's the doors to your right. And we have a place where you can learn more about different ways to be involved in the church. In front of you, there should be a gray card, and you can put comments for staff and lay leadership as well as prayer requests, and we will lift up you and your requests during the week. There is also an attendance pad that we would love for you to fill out and sign. Note who you're worshiping with and welcome them. This morning we offer our sympathies to Polly Jennings. Her mother died, Polly Cooper, on Wednesday in Florida. There will be a memorial service in Virginia on June the 15th. Let's turn our hearts and minds toward prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creating God, our times are held within your hands. You take hold of all that has happened and nurture within it what you wish it to be. God of mercy, fountain of loving care, wellspring of blessing and source of our hope, help us to break through the dry surface of our parched lives, to find that life flows beneath, quietly, deeply, the living water for our souls, which centers in Christ. We ask for those we love, your gifts of life, for all in the hospital or nursing home, healing and encouragement. For all living with long-term threats to their health or well-being, patience and endurance. For all who are worried, ease of heart. For all who are lonely, some human contact. For all who are anxious about their job or who are looking for work, fortitude. For all who are wondering what path to take in life, a sense of being able to trust that you, God, will guide them. We now think of our own lives and take a few moments of silence to give you thanks and to ask for the needs that weigh most upon us. And now we join the prayer you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May God receive our gifts of offering so that they may be used to show the world the greatness of God's love.
Go forth in full knowledge that you are a beloved child of God, and open your hearts and open your minds to that love that flows so freely in this community, and be a channel of that to those who need it most. Amen.